Hey, Megan, Dr. G here with SPKN, the Sport Professional Knowledge Network. On the 15th of August, 2021, the Taliban entered Afghanistan's capital city of Kabul and took political control. For more than a year, human rights violations against women and girls have mounted steadily. Despite initial promises that women would be allowed to exercise their right to work and to study, the Taliban has systematically excluded women from public life. Today, we sit down with Kawsar Amini, former member of the Afghan women's national soccer team, an opportunity that is no longer available to women in Afghanistan. Married to a NATO photographer, Kawsar immigrated to the U.S., founded and now runs the Women of Solidarity for Peace and Leadership, a nonprofit fighting for women's rights in Afghanistan and around the world. Currently, Kawsar is building a soccer academy for refugee women and hopes to reestablish women's rights in her home country so that both she and her daughter can return safely. Kawsar, thank you for being here and sharing your story. Welcome to SPKN.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Megan. I would like to say global greeting to everyone that they're just watching me through your amazing platform. And thank you so much for bringing me today here today to just raise my voice to represent some of the silent voices.
Well, we are very happy to have you here. I think maybe a good way to start is why don't you tell us a little bit about your life in Afghanistan growing up as a young girl?
Yeah, of course, it has been always challenging. It was not only me, but it was a little bit more pressure on me because I break too many barriers, like continuing my education in Afghan community and also being as an athlete, which is not something normal in Afghanistan. And sometime either I'm just having chat with my friend, I'm just telling like you guys are like lucky because you're just open to play any types of sport and you're available to just continue your education in the US and different part of the world. And you can do that and accomplish your vision or whatever you want to do. But it's a totally different situation in Afghanistan and most neighbor country, even like in India, Iran, as like the recent country that they're facing like inequality and women are like facing discrimination. And I wanna just share my sympathy from a sisterhood country like Afghanistan for my old Iranian sister. And recently India, like having issue in terms of wearing burqa going continue their education because it's somehow it's an imbalancement of the democracy and also somehow Islam trying to phase these all the things and women are like shouldn't be allowed to wear a burqa or hijab and continue their education. And this is all and everything has been crossed my way. And I have been went through a lot of challenges to continue my education because as we all know, like I always mention that in Afghanistan, when girls are like getting younger, about 10 to 12 age, their families forcing them or even without telling them they're just the decision, they're just marry them to someone. And the young lady doesn't know who might be her future husband. And they're just trying to even in a very early age, like 12 years old, it's crazy. Like a young, the girls are not able to take the responsibility of being a wife, holding a rolling a family or being a young mother. And it's not only happening with one or two, three, five young girls in Afghanistan. It's generally, it's a general issue. And even some part of Pakistan or India, it's the same scenario, Israel, Palestine, Syria. So, and it's all the religious cultural issue barrier and there's the most like Asian country, Islamic country, but in Afghanistan, it has been always the same because since 25 years when the US government has been involved in Afghanistan and there has been brought up too many changes in the community. They support women in a business, they support women in a sport, they support women in education. But a nightmare happened last year. You mentioned in the very beginning, like last year, August 15th, Kabul fell and everything's just destroyed, all the achievement. I was like, I never expect that Kabul will fall so soon under the control of Taliban because US government has been invested a lot in past 25 years. And we had a very, very great achievement. So at the beginning, the situation was like not the same on early 2001 or two. the beginning of regime in Afghanistan when the Taliban just went. And we have been fighting a lot. Even schools' doors were like shut off. And I exactly remember like my mother was like looking for a school to enroll me and my sister. And we had a few girls that they were attending school on that time. And also playing soccer in a ground with no grass, no opportunity. It's crazy, bumpy ground. And soccer, even schools without walls, without doors, without chairs, just shelter. Even no space to sit in a chair to continue the education. But in early 2000, it was the same situation until 2012. The business just rolled up in Afghanistan. A lot of people has been invested. The world just taking attention to pay money to invest in Afghanistan's education system, also support. But everything has been smoothly developed since 2002. But last year, everything's just messed up. And exactly on that day last year, I just felt with myself that this is not the thing I could, this is not something I could expect that. It is not accident too, but how could we stop these all? But the follow up with the equality things happening in Iran and in India, it really shook me up. That's how I start my International Women's Solidarity campaign. So on Solidarity Day on 10th of October this year, because I felt like myself last year, I start another campaign under name of Stand for Girls Education in Afghanistan, because I know that Taliban might taking a step in the first action of stopping girls education. And because I knew, I already studied this story that Taliban is always against women's movement, women's education, women's being in a sport involvement. So, and I started campaign last year, and through that campaign, luckily I got very viral and I got a lot of media attention, and I was in social media and news channels and newspapers front page. And exactly a week before October this year, before the Solidarity Day, the tragedy happened in Iran, I felt with myself, I was not able loud, I was not able powerful to stop the world or shake the world at what is happening with the women's and in different countries. And that's how I just switch or just transfer Stand for Girls Education in Afghanistan campaign to the International Women's Solidarity campaign under name of Join My Voice. So, and because all women need to come together to stand for their rights. This is my vision, because I, Kausar Amini, I'm not able to change the world. I'm not able to stand against all inequality which is happening with the women's generally. So if you all comes together, we might be very powerful. Nobody might be able to break us as a group, as a unity. And this is how I would like to cultivate peace through sport, equality through sport. And because the sport, being as an athlete, really impact myself, and I want to inspire inspire thousands, millions of young girls in the world to bring change in their life through sport, because a sport could really impact their life and their personality, as I have personal experience.
With that, I mean, too, I mean, it's remarkable. And how about the risks involved in your own advocacy and in trying to empower girls and women in places where there are serious repercussions at times?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, as you mentioned, it's always risk, but it is risky thing that I'm raising my voice too, because sometimes people are like saying like, oh, you're raising your voice, you're putting your face in social media. How about the people that they belong to you, your close friends, relative, whatever? And I'm saying like, okay, there's always a challenge when you're trying to bring a change in the world. It's not something could happen one night. You need to put yourself under risk. You need to follow your vision, and you need to have a clear vision for yourself to inspire the rest. And right now in Afghanistan, the situation is, as you mentioned, it's not really safe for the girls to go back to the school. It has been 1 year ago. After the regime change, the school doors are like still stopped or closed for the elementary to the high school girls. And this is very, very something that make me disappointed always. And I feel with myself like, what about their 1 year? They just wasted their 1 year. They're just sitting at home, and even not education system is like breakdown in Afghanistan. The economy situation is also breakdown. People are like facing poverty, because in Afghanistan, a lot of women's was like source of income for their family. When the Taliban regime came and they stopped women's to going to their jobs, they just forced them to sit at home. they're no longer can earn money to feed their families. And people are like facing poverty, even a tragedy. Things are like, the people are like posting in social media, a mother like selling their daughter, like a mother like selling their part of their body for just for feeding the rest of the family. And it's crazy, because how could we stop these all the crisis in the world? And this is crisis, human crisis. It's not only affecting women's life, children, seniors, men and women. So, and hopefully by this campaign, I could get more attention from the world to my initiative, to my vision that I'm trying to accomplish. And this is how I am trying to run a very huge circle of women network globally for women causes. And this is really important for me, because we need to stand. If I don't stand, if I don't represent my country, the generation from my country, and I can't expect change from different community, from different country, from different nation. So everybody is speaking on behalf of their own nation, their own community, and I could represent Afghan women and Afghan athletes. And specifically in being athlete in Afghanistan, some of them are like still left behind in Afghanistan at high risk. They're trying to leave the country with no opportunity. They wish, and they're reaching out to me every day, and they're saying like, hey, what about our case? It's just pending, because last year I just submitted like about 25 national players from different sports and State Department and a manifest list to evacuate them from Afghanistan. But since last year, their case is just stacked. And I was saying like, I hope I could hear anything. I hope I just get some more support from the State Department. But unfortunately, because of the high volume of cases over there, I'm not able to push myself back along with these cases and just be patient. And this is somehow I'm trying to convince them to calm down. But I know in a ground situation is totally not safe for the girls, because they're facing violence, discrimination every day. And even the same situation with the women of protest. They're just trying to come onto the street and asking for their rights, right? They're not asking for something else. It's just their fundamental right. They just need to push pressure on the world, the global, to push pressure on the Taliban to open the girls' soccer, the girls' school back. And even about the sport, it's not a very important topic right now. Nobody is paying attention, because they're saying like education is the first priority. Once we get deal with education, then we will reach out to the sport. But they don't know the power of the sport. And because sport have a most impact and power in the world, right? And we just need to pay attention.
There's so much learning and development I found that happens in sport. In the US, you know, you have kids that are with their coaches a lot more than teachers, and sometimes their parents. And I, you know, as a soccer player, and I was a tennis player, there's so many lessons that we were able to learn. Like you say, the power of sport is so amazing. And it's really disheartening for me to imagine that you're not allowed to even get together in the street and play a little pickup soccer or anything like that. And not that it's just not done, it's that it's dangerous. I mean, that's hard, I think, for a lot of Americans to kind of grasp.
Even before the Taliban regime, it was not possible for the girls to play like street soccer openly everywhere. It was not safe, because environment, negative reaction, they never believed in women power, women's identity, women's visibility in a society. And even for me, it was not safe. I could share this experience with everyone that I am national soccer player. If you Google Afghanistan women national soccer player, you won't see any faces there, because of the high risk and security issues. We're just trying to keep this secretly and not sharing a lot of updates about Afghanistan women national soccer team. Generally, it happened with basketball, volleyball, badminton, different types of sport, because women's were not safe in that moment. And they never tried to just share their thoughts, their achievement, even through social media. And I exactly remember when the CNN, BBC, most powerful news channel was like coming to interview each of us, and everybody was like rejecting, ignoring, like we say, like, no, we can do that. Because if you're putting our face in the social media and through your network, we might be getting in a trouble. And this is how we just fight through. And with these all challenges, even you can imagine how hard was the situation. We just reach out somewhere. And since 2014, when I was looking at the TV and news, I was seeing like girls could openly play in a different leagues. Recently in 2016-17, I felt so proud, and I was saying like, wow, now we could see the change, like since 2001 and now 2016, we could see girls can come and play in open spaces, they could join some leagues, they could get more appreciation to the families, the politician from Afghan government, but everything's just stopped up in some moment. So, and I felt so disappointed. And it's not only me, I guess it might be the same idea with 100 million people too, but the different thing with US community and with the flow of refugee and immigrant, they recently came to US. And I just thought about launching some soccer program for these kids, because in Bay Area, it's very hard to afford paying for your children soccer training. And I know everybody know that. And I personally have the same experience. I was not able to afford to send my daughter to one of these clubs. And I was saying like, okay, if I can support, what about these 100,000 families? Like they're also in the same situation like me. They're not able to support, send their kids to some of these private clubs. And that's how I get the idea of supporting these little kids that they're dreaming like me when I was 7 years old, playing soccer with no opportunity in a country like Afghanistan, why I can't support them. Because I went to my daughter's school and I was looking at those kids. They were just standing behind the fence, like maybe 35, 40 kids just waiting to get inside to the soccer ground. And they were so passionate. And I just talked to their principal and I was asking, can I just coach them after school? I have after school programs. She said like, oh my gosh, are you crazy? It's surprising me. Why not? Because these kids are like, look, they love playing soccer. They said, when it's the time for playing soccer, you see a lot of crowd behind these fans. What it's the time for the different types of sport, there's no much crowd like soccer. If you're willing to teach this kid, so please welcome. And we need to go through some protocol with the county city because it's a public school, but for sure we will allow you to do that. And then I was thinking of building some young Afghan girls soccer team that I'm nominating them for the GG World Cup, which is global gold World Cup championship happening in a different Asian country. And unfortunately, I missed the chance to nominate them for the Denmark Championship, which is on October 21st. But hopefully I could get them to the next year, early next year, a championship on 2023, maybe February, I guess, somewhere, Saudi Arabia. And I could represent that still there's someone in California, United States of America, thinking about soccer, bringing these girls back to the ground. It doesn't matter if it's not a field in Afghanistan, but they still represent Afghanistan, because Afghan women, especially athletes, is still like, I don't want the world to forget them, right? And right. Somehow I would like to just get them to the soccer ground to support them as an individual soccer player. That it's a part of my responsibility to support them. And I see there's a lot of passion around me. They're all young girls soccer players. They just not recently even, it has been a long time ago. Even some of them are like U.S. citizen. They just born in U.S., but they belong to the Afghan community, Afghan family, and they love playing soccer. I met with them. It's about 35, 40 player in Sacramento, Northern California. And I would like to sponsor that team and get them to the World Cup and to at least represent Afghanistan in some stage.
It must be, what is it like to watch your daughter play soccer and see the joy on her face and how open and, you know, exciting it is for her? It must be very different.
Yeah, she loved playing soccer, but the most funny thing with her, when she's playing soccer with her friend, she's always saying like, hey, do you know my mom's play soccer? And they just ask her like, oh, really? Who's your mom? She's saying like, I don't know, but her video's everywhere. Like, she can describe like, I played the national level. And then she's coming and poking me, mommy, where did you play? And I'm saying like, oh, I played soccer in the school, the national team. Then the kids know that, right? And they just come and say like, oh, can you just play with us? And they're just getting so excited. And I'm just taking ball with myself every day in a park with kids in an evening walk. And they're just playing. Even my 2 years old, he's so excited about soccer. He's just kicking the ball. And personally, I don't want to force them to follow or just play soccer only. I just want to support them in any type of sport that they're interested in. But I see a passion in my daughter that she loves playing soccer. But with my son, it's not confirmed yet because he's 2 years old. But hopefully I could support her. She feels excited. And that's how I was trying to leave the country behind. And it was a very popular question that a lot of media asked me always. It was the easy thing for you to leave your country behind with all the things and achievement, and you just immigrate to US. And I'm saying like, of course, it was very hard moment for me to leave everything behind and came to US. And I guess all the individual, all the refugee and immigrant have the reason for leaving their country behind. And I was also one of them. And I just left my country because of the high risk was in my life. And also because being as an athlete, studying political science in a first American private university, American University of Afghanistan, and being a women rights activist, and also somehow because my husband was like working with NATO, ISAF, and US military, it was high volume of risk on myself, and I was trying to lift the country as soon as possible. And hopefully it just happened recently on April 2019, an immigrant with my daughter and my husband to US, because to give them a safe life, because I don't want my daughter experience the same as I did, and with no opportunity, I could say like proudly, I just reached out to this stage, but I wish her a bright future with more opportunity in US to follow her vision, to become someone that she really want to be. And this is how I would like to support her, because in Afghanistan, I can expect much, and I can expect to protect even my daughter, because this is so dangerous country right now, especially for women. And women being involved in a sport type activity.
Can you talk a little bit more about that risk a little bit? And I've seen some reports about threats, you know, to your family and others back home too. I mean, has anybody actually been hurt too, or is that part of kind of terrorism? Is to strike fear into people and have them be so fearful that they don't want to even speak up?
Yeah, exactly. So you mean the recently attack that happened on the Hazara community girls that they were studying, right?
Go ahead. Yeah, I'm listening to so many different things. Yeah.
Yeah, because those girls were there to continue their education, and the attack just happened. About 16 to 19 young girls has been killed in that bomb blast. And somehow Taliban trying to show their power to the world that we are able to stop girls' education and we are against them. And this is the thing, it always made me nervous that still world know everything and they're not able to stop a tourist group by doing their own things and stopping girls' education. And it has been always risky, but everything's get more critical, more harder for the girls to continue their education since either than before. But in Afghanistan, there is still, I personally know because I'm in the ground and I have a good connection there back in Afghanistan still. And there's still some private learning courses or certificate courses for the girls that they could easily study, continue their education online. But it's not for everyone, because in Afghanistan, the most difficult thing is there's a low access of internet, right? The second challenge, the first challenge. The second challenge is a lot of these young girls doesn't know how to use laptop, computer, right? And the third thing is the electricity, right? And they need to just turn on their computer and have access to the fast, speedy Wi-Fi to connect to the US to continue their education. And there's a lot challenge always. There has been always challenge, but I heard recently the girls just start some home-based classes for their communities. There is a group of girls that they just establish a home-based classes for the women's, especially, or girls. They could go and continue their school materials, topics, subjects, and somehow trying to get them back in a track, right? Because it has been 1 year ago. They're just still behind. They just need to capture or get into the right track and get the focus on their education and continue their education. And this is the all offline effort which is going on. And luckily, it's with the world pressure, international governments, I'm very positive the good things might happen soon. But based on current news or updates from the ground, it is very hard to operate such types of projects in Afghanistan. And that's how I just moved through. And that's how I'm trying to put my own pressure too on this effort to at least provide services for some of these girls and my capacity to help them to get back to to their education and also to sport.
Yeah, do you want to talk about some of the work that you're doing then, the advocacy, and how do you actually operationalize your mission and the goals and make things happen?
Yeah. So as Meg mentioned, I just recently launched my nonprofit. It's called Women Solidarity for Peace and Leadership. Under Women Solidarity for Peace and Leadership, I recently launched a campaign, International Women Solidarity Campaign. Through that campaign, my goal is reaching out to the millions voices across global to shake the world, what is happening with women's generally in the world. And I'm likely starting this campaign episode with high profile athletes in US, starting from US, going to the different country to merge their voice with Join My Voice campaign to kind of support this movement. And secondly, under WSPL, I'm operating my soccer academy. And I founded Afghanistan because based on this current update and situation, Taliban are like totally against girls getting back to the soccer field. And I was thinking with myself, why don't I support women of disability? Because Taliban doesn't have an issue with disabled women, ill women. And I was somehow trying to support soccer to Down syndrome girls, soccer to blind girls, which is part of the Special Olympic and Paralympic programs. And I'm very lucky. I'm just starting my sport philanthropy high-level certificate with George Washington University this week. Through that certificate course, I could support, get some funding for these 24 Down syndrome young girls soccer player and also blind girls soccer players. And this was so interesting project for me because either I do have a little sister that she's Down syndrome, but I just recently found that she's interested in soccer. And I was thinking, like, why don't I support the rest of these girls? Because Taliban doesn't have an issue. They're not against these girls to play soccer, but they're required to be in a safe environment where there's no men's allowed there around. So they have their own requirement, but they're not stopping them to do that. So, and I'm very, very glad to support them because in any regime, any stage of life, I guess somehow these women of disability has been forgotten. And somehow I would like to just give them this equal voice to advocate for them too, because they're also equal part of society and their voice, their passion also needs to be valued, also their voices. And this is the recent two brand new projects of Amini Soccer Academy. And I'm very excited working in these two different types of program, but in the ground in Afghanistan, I have my team that they're operating these programs. They're bringing these girls together in a safe environment. And just training them with no opportunity. Hopefully I could get some funding for these girls to at least support them because these all girls are like from low income families. Even they're not able to support their commute to coming to the soccer ground. And some of them are like facing poverty because some of them are like working in the street selling some product items. And I and my friend that she's working in a ground, she just introduced with them and they said like, oh, they said we just played soccer before in the school. And when the school shut off, you're not able to play soccer, but we're looking for a place to play soccer back. And my friend just get them to somewhere, and she just got her contacts, and she just asked them to come another day for the soccer practices. And the very heartbreaking thing for me was there that my friends say, like, in the first practice, they just came with the sandals, no soccer shoes, no socks, no soccer dress. Because when I asked them, can you play with the sandals, they say, like, we don't have a soccer shoes because we're working in the street, like, right? You're not affording to buy these type of soccer shoes or socks or a dress for ourselves. And somehow by promoting my projects, helping not only these young girls that they love play soccer, and somehow I would like to support them financially to at least not working on the street, right? And paying them some amount of money monthly to support their self and continuing their soccer, and also feed their family, which was part of their responsibility. They're very younger, and somehow they has been badly treated through a community, through people, through environment, sometimes with bad comments, like abuse, because they're young girls, they're like working in the street and they're not feeling safe, but they never had a different option because their family are like forcing them to go on and feed the rest of the family, right? They have a little brother and sister, and they're the only one could bring money to the family and help financially their families. And these projects, I'm so excited because it have a different impact in a society. Somehow it fights against poverty, supporting women in a sport, and it's still supporting women with disability.
So can I just want to clarify, did you say that women who have disability, the Taliban doesn't care if they're educated or yes, play soccer?
Yes, they're not totally against them. This is how I get interested in helping these girls, because I found, based on my research on the ground, and they never had issue with these blind girls and also Down syndrome girls to play soccer. But they always has been trying to stop the girls with no disability going back to the ground, right?
Where does that come from?
Because they're scared of women's power always. And they think like women with disability won't be hurt. Their power won't be any source of a conflict for them, right? And that's, yes, how they feel more safe, and they're not stopping them doing something.
Wow.
And this is really smart and tricky thing, but I just found out. But at least it is very important for me to saving some life, helping some women's, and back in Afghanistan based on the current situation.
So we just had another guest on, Dr. Mike Cottingham, talked about a similar kind of phenomenon in the U.S. too, that people with disabilities and often get some kind of counter effect, a little bit of benefit, and overlooked because people don't want to be seen to be hurting people with disabilities. Maybe because the disability is so severe too that they feel like it's a non-threat.
Yes.
And so they get a little bit of benefit from other kind of marginalized or oppressed groups that they belong to. But if they have a disability, you know, they can kind of sneak by sometimes. It sounds similar in this case, that they expect, you know, that they wouldn't want to empower other women and other people that might then subvert the system.
Yeah.
With their abilities, whether that be cognitive or physical abilities. It's an interesting inroad that you have to try to make, you know, change, and hopefully it can trickle over to everybody, you know, to other women too, other girls and women.
Yeah, of course.
Counselor, do you experience that? You said you're looking at other women's rights throughout the world. Is that the case in a lot of different countries that kind of stop women from becoming educated and marry them early? Do they also have that kind of overlook of the disabled women?
With the disabled women, I'm not pretty sure. I don't think so, because there is still a government that exists on those countries. Like Afghanistan is like under control of a regime that they never believe in women's and humans' lives. So this is the important thing. But the most of the countries I just mentioned, they're still struggling issue. They're all still getting girls marriage in an early age. And in south part of Bangladesh, it's crazy. Girls are like getting engaged on 7 years old. Then they're getting married at 12 years old. And I was thinking like, what? And I was thinking like, it's not only Afghanistan, it's different Asian country, neighbor country, like they're facing the same situation. And how could we stop that? And I was thinking with myself, like there's no solution, I guess, but somehow I could shake the most powerful countries to pay attention at least to these part of the world that they always has been forgotten. Even nobody knows about these everything. And I just recently connected to the Kenya and South Africa, Bohemia, I guess. The lady just reached out to me through my LinkedIn and she was saying, she was just sending me the school's girls soccer pictures from Kenya. And I was looking at that picture and I was saying like, what? The little children even never had socks. They just play with nothing, right? They even never had a actual ball. They just made something like a ball, but it was not actual ball. They just played kicking everywhere. Their feet get hurt and a little bit blood come from their legs. And I was saying like, what? Why they're not wearing shoes? They said like, because they love soccer. And usually it's a kind of culture in those countries, like people are like not wearing shoes, right? They're just walking everywhere without shoes, like with no socks and anything. It's a, I guess, part of a culture or something. But she just explained it to me and I was saying like, okay, but playing soccer, it's not safe for them because they're running, they're kicking the ball or something. It might hurt their legs. So, and she was just proposing me to help her somehow to merge my wise, because she said like, I just saw your LinkedIn and I saw your recent activity. You always talk about soccer, women's empowerment. Why don't you support paying attention to me? And I was saying like, yeah, sure. Why not? And I have her on top of my mind, and I could just somehow introduce her through my network and somehow get her there, because she have also a wise to support women's and children's, because I guess UNICEF Save the Children need to pay more attention to these kids, because these kids are like the one that they're building the future of the country. And there's someone that the population that the all types of governments needs to be pay attention to them, invest to them. It's type of, it's actually a different types of investment. We need to invest on the youths to see the grow of them in the future with a healthy community or country. And it, this is the sustainable project might be. And I recently connected with the Sustainable Development Goals of United Nations. And luckily, as I mentioned before, I registered Armenia Soccer Academy to follow, support their campaign, which is called Global for Goals. And for to Global for Goals, hopefully I could get some more attention to United Nations for in terms of supporting soccer internationally, not only in Afghanistan, because there's still some part of the world, especially Asian country, that they need more help, need more investment, need more support and development projects.
That's what I love about nonprofits, is that you have the ability to really band together and make a bigger impact. And I love that you're taking advantage of that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, Kasra, for you, what does it mean to do your work and to speak and advocate for people that are unable or limited in their voice and power?
This is the interesting thing for me, I guess, if I could answer that, because I just start, I guess my first interview was with Malala Funds. They just interviewed me and they said like, what do you want to put a title in our interview? I just said like, waving thousand silent voices. And she said like, wow, interesting. And I said like, I want to start with waving thousand silent voices. And I want to end with waving thousand silent voices, because I have a voice, because I live in the most safest country like US. I could raise my voice, I could talk openly, I could speak openly to everyone. But what about those women that they're not able to at least raise their voice? And that's how I just put the name Waving Thousand Silent Voices, because this is very important for me. It doesn't matter if I'm speaking. If I'm speaking right now, it means I could represent thousands of Afghan women that they're living in Afghanistan right now, and their voices is shut off for some reason. Yeah. And this is really important for me.
It's important that those voices get heard, and they're lucky to have you to help spread it far and wide, because it's certainly something that we need to address.
But at a practical level too, how do people find out more information? How do they get involved? I mean, what can any of us do to try to support cause and make, you know, not only change in one country, but global change to live in a hopefully a more peaceful and equitable world?
Exactly. So I just up my website a couple of weeks ago, and all details will be about my programs and my website, and they could easily contact me. I'm not very hard to get connect. They could just go and review my website. They could connect me through my website, my social media, my LinkedIn, my Facebook, my Twitter. And I always appreciate everyone's voices. So I'm about building a strong sustainable development projects to the world, especially to in a soccer world, to represent the world. Because yeah, and somehow I don't want to call myself retired. So, but I don't like retirement word. But it's somehow
women ever retire? I don't think so.
Advocator is a good word. Advocator for the athletes and also educated women, because I recently started playing soccer back in U.S. Right, I play in Iberia, San Ramon girls soccer team, because I felt with myself, let's get back to the ground, girl, because
I just need to start playing back,
right? And I'm somehow mentoring the rest of the young girls or children's with the same vision that I had like 20, 22 years before. And just watching them, I really feel so passionate and feel so good for them that they at least have a clear vision and they could drive their life through being involved in different types of sport. I always suggest them, and I always trying to tell my story. By telling my story, I could inspire lot of young generation, and I was trying to spread my words out and trying to tell my story and trying to tell them, hey, see, you're lucky you're playing in a US in a country with a lot of opportunity, but I played with these types of challenges back in my country. And they're like getting so interested in hearing more about me. And I was saying like, because on August, I went to the SF youth school in San Francisco. There were all children audience. They were just sitting in front of me from second grade to seventh grade, more in the 200 kids. They were just listening to me and nobody was like moving even. A gentleman, he was host for the event, he just came and said like, look, you did a great impact, because I never saw them so quiet before to listen or pay attention to something. Because it's very hard to handle them, because he was saying like I was getting prepared to yelling on each of them quiet, but they're pretty quiet. They're not making noise. And see, it did impact. And I was saying like, yeah, why? They were just looking at me and they were saying like, I feel like they want to hear more, because they're getting inspired by all the things, because I made a proper presentation of my life, my childhood, my while I was playing soccer, I was little, when they get so impressed and they say like, hey, are you were that little lady to play soccer? And I said like, yeah, this is me. I just grew up. And they get so interested. And that's why I would like to share my story through different networks to inspire the rest of young generation, especially kids, to be strong, to have a strong vision for their future, because I personally believe they're the only one could drive their future. They could leg their generation future either way, in a good or maybe not in a proper way, but at least they need to be in the right direction to guide through great coaches.
Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate you coming on and telling your story and especially that last one. And we hope you'll come back and give us updates on how the program is going and progressing. We wish you all the luck.
Thank you so much, Meg. I really appreciate your all support and your team for inviting me today in your amazing show. And I really appreciate sharing and spreading my words out. I feel so good. And I feel like I am the 1%, I'm connecting to another, then third, maybe to the 100 people, right? And through your platform, I want to ask everyone to support my wise, to join my wise. Please follow me, find me everywhere in social media. And I appreciate all types of ideas, young mentality types idea to develop the world, to make world secure for all youngs, especially for women's. And thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review and hit the follow button because there's more sport knowledge on the way. If you're interested in more information or want to engage in further conversation about these and other issues in sport, visit our website at spknmedia.com. To stay updated on all things SPKN, follow us on social media at spknmedia or email us at team@spknmedia.com, and we'll be happy to welcome you to the SPKN community.